First thing on my list, go figure. It's a brand new John Cena action figure. Second thing on my list, guess what? It's a really cute girl with a really cute butt.
Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Christmas edition.
Christmas.
Yay. We are recording this 3 days before the big day, yes. Everyone's favorite holiday, or at least it should be, unless you're not Christian, then happy whatever you celebrate. Yay. There's a lot of them.
Good job, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
Way to keep that very smooth. It's like you rehearsed it ahead of time.
Line?
So we are going to, as our per tradition, our traditional wrestling-related Christmas gifts.
The Class Ring Attire Gift Exchange.
Yes. of the two of us.
Yes.
So, Chris, who did you get out of the gift exchange this year?
I got you. Who did you
really?
Get?
Oh, I got Heather.
Oh, man. Every year.
Well, like 2 years.
I know. also, okay.
To be fair, this podcast is older than my relationship.
You're right. I was moving apartments this weekend to my new place, and I didn't know what to do with that big Stone Cold gorilla that you gave me last year. And it's like, I'm not going to throw it away because that would just be rude, and it's like a antique vintage, you know, type of a gift. So it's like, I don't know where to put this. Like, it's bad enough I have the Taker statue.
Yeah.
That was like I still haven't found a spot for it.
I was like, have you come up with a solution?
No, I'm not going to either. It doesn't match anything.
I think it should go in that living room.
Oh, right. Okay. the big projector.
Yeah.
The really classy furniture.
Yeah. I think it should sit right there.
You might be right. I'll put it on the table with my R2-D2 bank.
There you go. Perfect. There you go. All right, do you want to do that first, or do you want to do Raw first?
Let's everyone hold on to some suspense. That's okay. The word.
All right.
Let's talk about the Slammies.
The Slammies happened.
And this is the point where we basically tell them how they did it wrong, because next week is the Classies.
Is next week the Classies? I thought 2 weeks was the Classies.
Was it 2 weeks? Because I thought we did we have this debate every year.
I know.
Because we do.
Because you never remember.
I always thought it was the podcast right after the Classies, and you would always correct me, like, no, we talk about the Classies, and in the next episode, because that's usually the last week of the year,
right?
That would be the Classies. And then you would sometimes think that it's the first podcast of the year. I don't know.
I believe it's the first podcast of the year.
Well,
so that we have technically seen everything that everybody has to offer.
Here's the thing. We're quite a few weeks away from Royal Rumble. We might need to do the Classies next week because there's not going to be anything else to talk about.
Yeah.
So it might just be a necessity.
All right. Well, we'll make it official then. Out of necessity, the Classies are happening next week.
Right. And after we touch on the Classies, I'll give a list of categories so you guys can go ahead and start sending in your own picks.
Yes.
And so we can remind ourselves what the categories are.
Your nominations. I don't know what the categories are.
Okay, then I won't bother getting. I won't
no,
bother
look it up. No, look it
I
up.
I won't bother
no,
looking it up.
Look it up. Look it up.
Okay. All right. You seem so confident in that. All right, yeah, I got it. So we should go ahead and go through the actual Classies.
Not Slammies.
The Slammies. There's so many awards.
The second most important wrestling awards.
Yes. So I'm just going off of the Wikipedia page. So go ahead and pull that up yourself if you want to follow along. The Tag Team of the Year.
Was the biggest travesty.
The biggest travesty because it went to the Usos. And they spent half the year on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Roman Reigns last year, getting Superstar of the Year.
And this was
and had done nothing.
This was the year of New Day.
Absolutely.
Like,
this was the year where they went from, and we'll talk about this next week at the Classies, where they went to being the worst thing ever to being the sole content-saving entity in the WWE right now.
Well, that's the thing.
Like they're the temple for everything else.
They are the first, oh boy, that tag team since Team Friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can even go further back and be like, and there's just – I was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They actually got, there was a lot of things where I'm like, they got that wrong. Yeah, right. They got that wrong.
Yeah.
But this is one that's like, I just jaw on the floor.
And of course, they're like, oh, well, don't blame us. Blame the people that voted for him. I'll blame everyone. But it should have been New Day.
It should have been New Day.
So this could be a, you know, don't boo us, you should be booing yourself kind of situation. Or it could be fixed, because that's always a possibility, because, you know, kayfabe.
Yeah.
Next we go, I didn't even know this was a category, but the best John Cena...
Well, they have new categories every year.
Sure, but a lot of them get covered on pre-shows or whatever.
Yeah.
But the best John Cena's U.S. Open Challenge... I'll go ahead and go through the nominees, and you tell me who should win.
Okay.
Cesaro on July 6th, Dolph Ziggler on October, Sami Zayn, Dean Ambrose, Neville.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, honestly, any of those I'm okay with winning.
Yeah.
Because the nice thing about that is there were several good matches.
Yeah.
That happened.
That's a good thing about that category.
When it was announced, my first thought was Kevin Owens. Although it's like, oh, he didn't have an open challenge thing. Like, I was, because I was about to get really upset when he wasn't nominated.
Sure.
But it was like, oh.
Technicality.
Yeah, it's because that wasn't an open challenge thing.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I'd be fine with any of them winning. I have a personal little hearts aflutter for Sami Zayn. Because it's Sami Zayn, not because it's the same.
And it was a great moment.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
But it also was like the time that Sami Zayn got hurt.
Yeah.
So and the part of it is like, I don't think that match was what a Sami Zayn debut could have been because he got hurt right before that. So yeah, it's personal feelings towards Sami Zayn more than like I can objectively say that was the best match.
All right, good call, because that did not win. That was Cesaro.
That's fine.
That was a great match.
Any of those, I would have been fine.
I mean,
that
I was kind of mad with it because the Dean Ambrose one was the first one. And I don't really remember. I remember it was an okay match.
I remember it being good.
Yeah.
But it was like, well, when he came out, because it was the very first one, so I was like, oh, this is a weird way they're going to get this title off of Cena so he can go back to the main event.
Right.
So it was like a nice little back and forth match. I remember being impressed with
it. Sure. All right. We're going to go to hashtag of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate myself.
That's a thing.
Hashtag RKO out of nowhere. Hashtag Axelmania, hashtag save the tables, hashtag give divas a chance, and hashtag suplex city.
Because
I know you don't know who won, but who should win, I guess.
Well, it's like, hashtag give divas a chance was like, I don't know, it is the one that was like, oh, that's something I feel passionate about. I don't feel that passionate about Suplex City. Like, it's a cool thing.
Sure.
But, like, it's not a cultural movement that I, you know, very much want to see.
Right.
But at the same time, it's, you know.
Right. So what
is. Hashtag give these a chance is this very specific reminder of, like, how do we take this and just, like, 3 degrees off of what they're really going for?
Right. Yeah.
Just enough to really miss the mark.
Yep.
And
that's right, the ladies get buried again. Hashtag Suplex City wins.
Yeah. So.
How's that Divas Revolution going, you guys?
Yeah.
Next, we're going to go to Celebrity Moment of the Year. We have the Wayne Rudy slapping King Barrett when they're in the UK.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart getting involved in Cena's SummerSlam match.
Mm-hmm.
Machine Gun Kelly getting powerbombed by Kevin Owens, which. It's my personal favorite, because I just hate things that are popular. The cast of Entourage introducing Zack Ryder.
I don't remember that happening.
I don't either. I know it happened, but yeah. Or Stephen Amell dives onto Stardust and King Barrett at SummerSlam.
I got to say, I like the Stephen Amell thing, because it got a lot of people I knew watching wrestling for him specifically. But personal favorite was Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Stephen
Amell won, which, you know, it's fine.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with
because that is an actor who is using his celebrity, but took the time out of actually training. You can, you know, say he's definitely wasn't ready for it, but he did take the time to take it seriously.
Yeah. So I respect that choice.
Yeah. Now we have the quote, "Tell me you didn't say that" moment of the year. We have Paige spoiling Charlotte's championship celebration. Seth Rollins disses Kane while celebrating the Authority's WrestleMania accomplishments. Seth Rollins calling Johnny Manziel Johnny Idiot Face. Shots fired, you know.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose calling Seth Rollins Justin Bieber. Or Brock coined Suplex City at WrestleMania 31. That is not the complete quote, but that's WWE for you.
Okay.
That's right, it was Suplex City.
I'm fine. That's what I would have picked. Yeah. Because here's the thing, like,
all these others sound so lame.
Well, they're all dumb. And I don't know if it's specifically talking about Charlotte's brother with the page interrupting, because that's the real, like,
right.
Tell me you didn't just say that.
But that's more of a, like...
But that's because, oh, I really wish you hadn't said that.
Yes.
And if we're going that way, then Hulk Hogan won this year.
Good point. Oh, we should... You know what? Because these are getting far... These moments are getting far too frequent. We should add that to the Slammies.
Call it the Aw, man award.
Oh, we have to erase you from our memory, from just like WWE did on their website.
The back to, like, remember the good old days when I was only embarrassed about being a wrestling fan because it's kind of silly?
Okay, so, citing on behalf of good taste, we're not going to call that the Chris Benoit Award. We'll call it the Hulk Hogan Award.
The Hulk Hogan Award?
Yeah.
The Hulkster?
Yep. The Hulk Hogan Award. The person who...
spoiler alert, Hogan wins it this year.
See? Right?
Like, you're welcome to send in your nominations, but I'm going to go ahead and say that Hogan won it this year.
You're right. Rivalry of the year, Seth versus Randy Orton, the Bellas versus Team Bad versus Team PCB, Cena versus Rusev, Reigns versus Wyatt, Taker versus Lesnar. All of those sounded awful.
Of the ones that they mentioned, I will say Taker and Lesnar.
That's who won, yeah.
Like, that's one where, like, okay, if you're saying those, then fine.
Right, yeah.
So we have Feud of the Year, don't we? That's a classy.
I believe so.
So I'll save my just, personal pick.
That's
is
the thing,
not
like,
one of those
thinking, like, I don't know if I can really, like, come up with a Feud of the Year.
There's...
See, like, it seems like every feud that's happened this year, like, something's happened that's kind of left a sour taste in your mouth. Like, my gut reaction wants to say Kevin Owens and John Cena, but then John Cena won at the end when he really, it really felt like he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even just us saying, being, you know, Cena sucks or anything.
No, but that's tripping at the finish line, you guys.
Yeah.
So.
So, I don't know. Now I
got you got a week to think about it.
Sure, I'm calling this the Circle Jerk Award, the best original WWE Network show. Swerved. Oh man, we almost had to have a censored moment Swerved never gets an award. WWE 24, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Table for Three, not bad.
Yeah.
Breaking Ground has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Cold Podcast.
I know Stone Cold Podcast won.
Yeah, off of sheer popularity.
Well, a little bit of, like, that's a one-off special whenever they feel like
it. Right.
Like, and even if there was, like, a, you know, first Monday of every month, it doesn't have to be a weekly thing, but if they were like, here's when it's going to happen.
For me, if they
I'd be like, okay, that's a show now.
If they had made JBL's show more frequent.
Legends.
Yeah. I would have gone that because I really enjoyed the the one with Bischoff.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is part of the thing with the Stone Cold thing is that it started off so hot with Vince and then Triple H as the 1-2.
Right.
And then, you know, I enjoy Paige a lot, but, like, that was...
Awkward fest?
Well, it was kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Stone Cold is and Brock was...
Brock was farming 101.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and I think Stone Cold did a great job. Sure. Actually, like, okay, here's some stuff Brock actually wants to talk about. Let's do that and warm him up and get
him
in.
And I even say, like, the pre-tape one with Shawn Michaels was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, I mean, I gotta say Breaking Ground, because that actually feels like a show.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I've been really impressed with Breaking Ground.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And especially after the kind of... frustrating with Tough Enough, if it's like, oh, this isn't, you know, Everything that I disliked about Tough Enough, and then Breaking Good to come on right after, like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted out of Tough Enough. So it was a nice Band-Aid on the wound. So
it's like, oh, they're depicting ZZ as a lazy piece of crap.
Putz?
That too. And Tough Enough was just like, oh, that's part of his charm. No. So we're going to move along. The double cross of the year. Stardust turning on Goldust. Paige attacking Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Randy Orton turning on Seth on Raw. Jon Stewart costing Cena the U.S. Championship at SummerSlam. And then Ms. Dow eliminating The Miz from the armbar. It should be Jon Stewart.
Man, I wish Seth Rollins had betrayed the Shield this year. Like, that was such an easy, easy choice last year, because we do best face turn, heel turn.
Yeah.
And God, that was such an easy choice last year, and this year it's kind of like, think about it.
I mean, you know, I guess we could still do best face turn goes to Seth Rollins when he blew out his knee, because he got a pretty good reaction when he came back.
Yeah. From
the And even I was just a little giddy about it. And the slammies, that was pretty much, it felt like 50 to 75% of it as so-and-so couldn't be here tonight. We'll accept it onto this bat. Like, there was like three or four of them.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Which is dumb.
Well, and part of it was also like, Santino said it about R-Truth.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I know it leads to like, oh, he's going to come out and do the whole Game Night Award. Whatever, you have 3 hours to fill. But on a night where there were so many accepting awards on behalf, it was like,
Now you're making us like call attention to it even
more. Yeah.
Which I'm assuming that's probably not what, you know, it's not what they wanted. Extreme moment of the year.
Mm-hmm.
See how believable that is. Neville dives off a ladder onto several superstars on SmackDown. If that isn't the most vague description...
SmackDown is in any SmackDown.
Sure. It was the June 11th SmackDown.
Oh, of course, of course.
As we all remember.
Yes.
Seth Rollins breaking John Cena's nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of like calling attention to a botch, but that's just, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. Luke Harper powerbombing Dean Ambrose through a ladder at WrestleMania 31. That one's believable.
Yeah.
A little bit, because that one looked rough. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker brawling throughout the arena on Raw.
Yeah.
The whole, like, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to kill you, you're going to have to kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good moment. I don't know if I would call that extreme, but
yeah,
whatever. And then the winner, Roman Reigns attacks Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, Rusev, and Triple H with a steel chair at TLC.
Well, see, here's the thing. They have the extreme moment of the year and the OMG moment of the year.
Right.
Which I'm like, I don't know. It's a little bit of like the
and it's just
you know, no holds barred match or a no disqualification match or a street fight match. And you're
So, but really, it's all the same match.
Yeah,
I just think it's bold of them to have that be the winner of the Extreme Moment of the Year, 1 week removed from probably the best WWE Extreme Rules match we've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
like if there was a way to nominate that entire match, I know we're only 1 week away removed, but I feel like that pretty much blows everything else in this category out of the water.
Yeah.
So, I'm just throwing that out there. Next, we have Breakout Star of the Year. This is one that happened actually on Raw. So, we all know that Neville won.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like Kevin Owens should have won.
Yeah, now it's Kevin Owens.
Like, Kevin...
Yeah, now it's Kevin Owens.
There's no real debate there. But that one, you just...
Well, that's how the Slammies kicked off. That was the first one.
Yeah.
And so, it's like, you know... Buckle in, guys.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be like the guy that actually should have won and the face.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That and when New Day didn't get voted, I was like, oh.
Get out of here with that mess.
Yeah. But then friggin' the superstar of the year, like, came back and redeemed it all.
Well, we'll get there, but yes.
They know what happened.
LOL moment of the year. The New Day getting Triple H to dance. The Miz and Ms. Dow's erectile dysfunction commercial, the Bushwhackers acceptance speech, lots of laughs there.
Yeah, okay.
Edge and Christian bring back the kazoo on Raw, and then R-Truth mistaking himself and the Money in the Bank ladder. That was like, it was a legit funny moment I liked, and it made us like set up, you know, all these other moments that R-Truth should come out here and just pretend like he's going to be in this one match or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, dumb category, but...
It's a dumb category, but it's a steady category, and there are years where they have that golden moment where you're like, that is the funniest thing that has happened in WWE this year. So I don't begrudge... And it was just a weak year for that category.
Sure.
You know, which happens sometimes when you have award shows.
Absolutely. I'm going to go to the OMG shocking moment of the year. Sheamus cashing in against Roman. The Wyatt family attacking Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. Brock Lesnar. Rampage after WrestleMania 31. Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania 31. And then Kalisto... hitting the Selena Del Sol at TLC.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I'm okay with Kalisto winning because that was a pretty great spot.
Yeah.
I still felt like it should have probably gone to Seth.
Yeah, I mean...
Unless they were saving that, you know, Seth coming out and accepting an award for Superstar of the Year.
Maybe.
That might have been what it was.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the classes, we have Spot of the Year, which kind of covers this and Most Extreme Moment.
I liked the Brock going on a rampage post Mania 31 a lot.
Yeah.
But I also liked Brock and Undertaker having to have literally the entire locker room hold them apart.
Yeah.
And still not working. I'm like, that's the same basic thing, just slightly different tweaked. I don't know I don't understand how those are in different categories.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Next, like, in the middle of the show is Superstar of the Year, which felt odd.
It did feel odd.
Maybe it's just because they didn't want to, like, I don't know, over-celebrate an injured guy, even though that's what they did last year.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it went to Seth Rollins, which is the right
move. That was shocking.
Yeah.
I was sure it was going to be Roman.
I was sure people were going to vote Roman, or at least the kids were.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked, and I... For once, they got it right.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was
very pleased.
Yeah.
Very happy to see Seth. I don't know if he was playing up the crutches for the camera. He might have been. Or it could have been legit. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But no, there's just, you know, sorry, that's one of the big ones that we're supposed to save for the end of the classics. But no, that's so clearly Seth Rollins is the Superstar of the Year this year.
Right. You know what? I take it back. Maybe this one should be called the Circle Jerk Award. Because, man, it felt gross. The Hero in All of Us Award, presented by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
The only one that's sponsored by, you know, an outside product. Basically, who is the best PR person when it comes to doing charity stuff? Of course it goes to John Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, John Cena can't be there to accept the freaking award. You get one award sponsored by Coke, and you can't get the guy who wins it to show up 1 week early.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Whatever.
It felt a little gross. It's like, hey, it's the Hey, Look at Us award. Especially with Mark Henry like, hey, it was all of us. It was a team effort. And everyone's like, yeah, it was a team effort. I'm like, get out.
It was a team effort. But also John Cena.
But mostly John Cena. Surprise return of the year. Demon Kane.
No.
Sure. Del Rio.
That
should have been it.
Sorry, but if you had asked me if Sting was gonna come back or Del Rio was gonna come back,
sure,
I would have bet the house on Sting.
Yeah.
And been homeless now.
Yep. The Dudley Boys. It was a legit surprise.
It was surprising.
I would have made that second.
Yeah.
Third. Chris Jericho coming back from Night of Champions, even though Chris Jericho does all the house shows and we kind of figured he would be there anyway. Or Sting returning on as posing as Seth's statue.
I mean, it was a...
That was a good moment.
Good moment.
But Del Rio, yeah. They were able to keep a secret.
Yeah.
Like, we knew Sting was going to be there. We just didn't know exactly how they're going to pull it off. It was great execution.
It absolutely was.
But... It should have been Del Rio.
But I knew Sting was coming back at some point.
Yeah.
I thought Del Rio was...
Also, what would have made that award, especially the acceptance speech, better? Del Rio was in the building and could have accepted that award. Could have cut a promo. Sting was not.
Yeah.
That is just true.
Just saying.
Throwing that out there. That's another person that couldn't accept it. Diva of the Year went to Nikki.
What? What?
yeah. How's that Divas Revolution going, you guys?
What?
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. Should have been Sasha.
Yeah.
Even in kayfabe, should have been Charlotte.
Yeah.
Just what?
Nikki was at best third in that list.
Nikki was at best eighth in that list of five people.
Good point.
It is Sasha, Becky, Paige, Charlotte, Deke Stokes,
Bailey. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, if I could do NXT people?
Oh yeah, if it's NXT people, Bailey goes at the top of the list because, A, she won the, like, okay, winner, like, number one position should have been Bailey. Then, like, 1-B is Sasha, because they're the two divas that have done something that no diva's ever done before.
Yeah.
And I only give Bailey the edge because she's the one that won those matches.
Yeah.
So, in all honesty, that, I mean, I'll go ahead and tell you, classic diva, I don't know if we have a diva of the year, I don't even remember. If we did, it's her. No. Matter of fact, I think I just convinced myself what feud of the year was. Sasha and Bailey.
All right, way to ruin my feud of the year surprise next week.
Well, we're going to agree on it anyways. I was going to get there.
See, because the fun thing is when you say something and then I correct you and you feel dumb.
Yeah,
that's
right.
My favorite part of the classes. Right.
Match the year 2011 was a broken mat.
Del Rio versus John Cena. At Vengeance.
At Vengeance with a broken ring.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is also moment of the year. The Shield briefly reuniting to powerbomb Randy Orton through a table.
That's cool.
I forgot about that. The Divas Revolution beginning. That should have gone.
No.
That should have gone to LOL moment of the year.
No, that makes me sad.
Randy Orton countering Seth's curb stomp, or excuse me, redacted into an RKO. Sure, that was a pretty great moment.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar destroying the car on Raw.
Oh, with an axe?
With an axe and almost, you know, throwing a car door at a fan.
Yeah, I remember that.
And The Rock and Ronda Rousey attacking Triple H and Stephanie. Also a good moment.
Yes, but that RKO, yo.
Yeah, that RKO was gorgeous.
Again, I don't understand how this is different than OMG moment of the year and most extreme moment of the year.
Sure. So let's give it to two people who couldn't be at Raw. The Rock and Ronda.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This is what happens when you rely on part-timers for all your big shows.
Oh, you're right. Okay, match of the year. The Fatal 4-Way to contender the turn of the number one contender. That was Roman, Dolph, Del Rio, Kevin Owens. John Cena versus Kevin Owens at Elimination Chamber. I believe that was the first one where Kevin Owens won. Owens won. Sting versus Triple H at...
No.
Mania? Yeah. That is just weird how they... Sting versus Triple H in a pinfall and submission only match. It's like, oh, okay, now I get it because it was no holds bar.
Yeah.
Just Wikipedia was being done. My bad. I'm sorry, I was confused there. Lesnar, Cena, and Rollins at Royal Rumble. I really like that match.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It was at the top of my list for a while.
Yeah.
And then the winner was Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. No.
Well, you know,
it was good.
Not the worst match.
No.
And here's the thing. That is, watching it, that is a match of the year contender for me.
Sure.
But it's the kind of thing where I already know what my matches of the year are going to be. So
you don't even think about it, yeah.
So, but if I have to do my, you know, my five nominees, that one would make it. So, all right. At least they didn't say one of the dumb ones.
Yeah.
So.
And, oh, wow. I even have, I pulled up the categories for classies, and it has all of my picks from last year still on it. All
right.
Weird.
So, the classies for next week, what are our categories?
We have the best and worst turn.
Either heel or face turn.
Sure. My best went to Seth Rollins, the worst went to Big Show. okay.
Oh, it's bad when you think you're funny.
Best and worst return. I guess best was Rock and the worst was Batista. And then, like, next to it, I have CM Punk. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that. The Mark Henry Memorial Award, which was Memorial. That one was something that was supposed to be awful. It ended up being great.
Yes.
And I went the WrestleMania 30 main event because it was supposed to be awful, and then it ended up being great. And then the Sin Cara Award, which is something that was supposed to be great, but ended up being awful. Terrible.
Yes.
And I put New Day.
Yeah.
I put that last year. More to come on that. The Most Improved. Oh, God, that hurt. This hurts because I know where we were a year ago. Most Improved, I said Dolph Ziggler. And then we have the Biggest Downfall, and I said Cesaro. Those might be reversed.
Yeah.
Because the thinking was Cesaro had won the armbar and then just did nothing with it and just fell into obscurity for a while.
Yeah.
Diva of the Year, I said Paige.
We do have Diva of the Year.
Storyline of the Year, I had said Dana Bryan versus Diva.
Which also fits Feud of the Year, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Storyline Feud, yeah. Spot of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I did Seth and Dean at Hell in a Cell. It was good.
Okay.
Vaguely remember because I never rewatched that. Pay-per-view of the year.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and say now, just so Pat Metalhead at Inside Pulse will feel a little, you know, twinge of joy. I am very much considering Wrestle Kingdom 9 to be pay-per-view of the year because it technically counts.
Because it came out in January?
It was like very beginning of January, and it was really good, and you should watch it. Video package of the year.
Yeah.
I think I have something for that.
Okay. I don't know my answer for that.
Match of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then superstar of the year.
Yeah.
So, they're pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will just go from there.
All right.
Okay. So, there's something that's not exactly WrestleMania related that I'm pretty sure our listeners are going to expect us to talk about. So before we do that, let's go ahead and do our presents.
Okay.
Okay. So who should go first?
You go first.
Me giving to you.
Oh, I don't care. Go ahead. Now right. you need to understand.
Okay. I want to try to like sit close to the mic so you can hear my reaction.
So there is a plastic bag involved in the wrapping of it.
I feel that.
Just. The plastic bag is not actually part of. I guess you can keep the plastic bag if you want.
It's just part of the
if
wrap.
If it calls to you.
Did you put something in a plastic bag and then wrap around it?
Yes.
Why?
You'll understand once you open it.
Okay. All right. And also the wrapping paper has Daniel Bryan, AJ, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, and John Cena and Roman, and Ryback.
And you can tell it came from a very specific.
There's Dean Ambrose.
Time. You can, especially you. The thing is, like, you can tell John Cena is wearing his green armbands, so like, you can
so
tell
you can pretty
the
much
exact
date.
3 month window that this paper was produced in.
I did it lazily. I just opened one side and slid it out.
That's fine.
It's a Target bag.
Well, yes.
This podcast was not brought to you by Target. It's feels like a book or a few books.
Finish opening it.
Hey, these are, oh my goodness. WWE Super, what is he? Are these magazines or?
They're comic books.
These are the Mick Foley
ones. Yeah, those are the ones Mick Foley wrote.
Oh my God. You might have won this year.
Yeah,
you might have won this year.
Yeah,
because mine, you'll see. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you, dude.
I'm good. I'm glad you like it.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, I'm gonna put those over there. So
all right. Okay.
I was telling Joel before the podcast that I his gift and Emma's gift are both wrapped very similarly and about the same size. And so I've been shaking this thing to make sure that I didn't accidentally grab hers. So if Joel unwraps and he gets a book of bad poetry, then I'm going to have an awkward conversation with Emma later. So
right.
Here, and I hope it's not poetry.
All right.
It's wrapped in flannel Mick Foley.
Here you go. Here's this piece back. I don't need it anymore.
Thank you. It's a tiny piece.
I don't need that anymore either.
Oh, my Joel. Audio podcast. Audio podcast.
This is a hilarious visual joke that's happening right now, you guys.
He's unwrapping it like a single strand at a time.
It's really the best.
And then individually handing me each piece. Like a jerk. Because my mom wrapped this, and she wrapped it good.
God, when exactly did this have to come out?
I think last year.
Oh, man. Because
it was around the same time as The Rock's Hercules movie.
Yeah, because it's starring WWE's John Morrison. So it's a DVD of Hercules Reborn.
Yep.
Which was...
No, he was out of the company for a couple years before this came out.
So, for those who don't know, there's a company called The Asylum.
Yep.
And so in 2005, they were making...
Of course you know everything about this.
Yeah, they were making... In 2005, they were making a World War II movie. Mm-hmm. Not a War of the Worlds movie, based on the H.G. Wells book. Yeah. Like a period piece War of the Worlds movie. And coincidentally, at the same time, the Steven Spielberg, Tom Cruise War of the Worlds movie came out. And somehow, I think it was Blockbuster... ordered the wrong movie and got several hundred copies. I mean, they got this amazingly huge order for their War of the Worlds movie. And so they completely, because of that, completely changed their entire approach to try and basically trick you into, I think that's the movie that I heard about. So they made Transmorphers. they made Snakes on a Train.
Oh my God.
They made Sunday School Musical.
Is this the reason why Blockbuster folded? Because it's
not specifically this. Oh God, what else did they make? I mean,
it might have just been like The Rock at the top of the avalanche.
So they made a movie called The Almighty Thor when Thor came out,
mm-hmm.
And just et cetera, et cetera. So this is the one that they made when Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Hercules movie came out.
Yeah.
Because they could put a WWE thing in it.
Yep.
So this is WWE's John Morrison in Hercules Reborn.
I was hoping you didn't already have it.
No, I don't have it.
Because with you, it's a 50-50
chance. No, I understand that. All right, it is not rated, but it does contain scenes of intense combat, action,
ooh,
and violence, and some sensuality.
Oh.
So.
Don't get too worked up over that some sensuality. Okay, and then a side note. I know we had our group of friends had a Secret Santa this past week. I ended up getting Joel's wife, Heather. I ended up getting her a nice Batman shirt or whatever. But man, let me tell you, I was so close to getting her WWE's Best of Ladder Matches DVDs. I was going to give her my copy of it, actually.
Yeah.
If I could actually like find the actual disc. I found the case, but I couldn't find the disc.
That drives me up a wall. You know that. Why do you not put your discs in
cases? Because I was very irresponsible back then.
God, you...
All my Blu-rays stay in the case now. Mm-hmm. But my DVDs is just a lost hope at this point.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know how much that bugs you.
It bugs me.
Okay, so... I guess... Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah!
Star Wars happened. Like, that was the thing I was alluding to earlier, if you didn't notice. And let's be honest, there was no way we're going to get through this podcast without talking about
Star Wars, yo.
I don't think we'll say any spoilers.
I was like, yeah, I'm not going to say anything spoiler yet.
There's one big spoiler.
If you, I will say, if you really, really don't want to even pretend to risk it, we have talked about the Slammies, we have done the President Exchange.
Yes.
You can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire when we live tweet on Mondays.
Or you can skip ahead. A few minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
And just kind of crapshoot it.
But we'll still probably try and keep it spoiler-free and vague.
Sure.
Okay,
so... just on a pure thumbs up, thumbs down.
I mean, thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up. Definitely liked it. I think you're the one that said it was the third best Star Wars movie.
No, I didn't say that.
I could have swore that was you.
That was definitely not me.
But how well would you rank it?
I would rank it. I can't rank it yet. I saw it less than a week ago.
Fair enough.
I've seen it only twice compared to the.
Right.
Ask me again in 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
Before I can comfortably rank it. No, I mean,
it's, you ranked all of the Fast and Furious movies like instantly.
Yeah, because
instantly after the last one came out.
That's Fast and Furious. That's a completely different.
I don't know, you were waxing pretty lyrical about them.
That's a completely...
We were sitting here waiting to watch Star Wars.
That is a completely different animal. I mean, I can't... It's... There was so much like, weight upon it.
Sure.
There was so much.
So there was, like, this feeling of, like, relief, joy to watching
the,
it.
And, yeah, there's, I mean, here's the thing. It's, like, it's, for me, still the best moment of that movie is literally episode VII going up on the screen. Because I'm, like.
Because that moment, you're, like, it's real.
Because, yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, I've heard that music, and I've seen the Star Wars.
Yep.
Thing go up a bunch. I've seen episode VII scroll up a bunch because of like YouTube parodies and etc. Sure. I've seen that plenty of times, but to see it on the big screen and know that's real and know that the words that are coming after this count,
yeah,
like that's a feeling like no other. And I'm like, that's obviously not the best part of the movie.
No,
but that's
but it's the moment where
that's the just... moment that I had the strongest reaction to. So I cannot. In good conscience, give you any sort of definitive ranking or comparison to the previous movies.
Okay.
Not yet. Let me get disc. Let me watch it several times.
Do you have any like major criticisms of it so far?
Yes, but they would spoil it.
Okay.
So, if you desperately want to know, send an email and I will give you the exact criticism. And as soon as you get it, you'll be like, yeah, he's right.
Right. I will say in very broad terms, they had a little bit too many plot parallels to A New Hope.
Yeah.
It felt like, and I'm not quite in a copy and paste situation, mm-hmm. but it felt kind of close, like almost to the point where it was tempting to almost call it a reboot.
There will be a day where we will have a podcast that will be breaking down, discussing everything about this franchise that I need to discuss.
Why? I'm just kind of shocked we haven't started that.
I know, podcast. I am too. But, like, it just somehow that is the thing that hasn't happened yet.
I mean, once we come up with a. I mean, the hardest part is coming up with a catchy name for the podcast. Once we do that, we're off to the races.
So, but we'll let you know when that happens. And there will be things to be said about Star Wars.
So that podcast is going to be you and John and then me standing in the corner laughing, being, you know, basically, I didn't read the books.
Well, if you do the podcast, you have to read the books.
I guess I'm not going to be on the podcast.
That's absolutely the rule.
Fair enough. So you, Jason, and John have fun with that.
So,
and Neil.
You
and Neil. Let's do you. Here you go. That's the podcast. Because we've been trying to find a podcast for Neil to do. I think that's the podcast, Neil.
I think it should be you and Neil. Because you have to read the books.
I don't want to read
you
the books.
You freaking lepton.
Especially since they're not part of
you.
Since they're decanonized
you
now.
You freaking troglodyte.
I'm not going to. I am not.
Read a book.
I read a book. I read Gone Girl.
You.
What's that?
I hate how willfully ignorant you are of the world.
I mean, why would I read the Star Wars books now that they've been decanonized?
Because they're good.
Sure. I mean, I listened to the audiobook of the zombie.
Yeah, that's one of several hundred books that are good. You need to read more books.
You have no idea how many conversations I've had with exes that are very similar to that.
Just you need to read more books.
Okay, I guess. Sure.
You know who doesn't read books? People who vote for Trump.
All right.
I bet it.
A. Good job. B, GTFO out of your own apartment.
I bet there's a weird correlation there, yo.
All right, joke of the podcast goes to Joel. Oh, I can't. Oh, man. Here's the problem with that. A, I can't.
Indeed?
I can't disprove his claim that people that vote for Trump don't read or can't, and B, I can't argue on behalf of people who would vote for that idiot, because it just ends up looking even more poorly upon me.
All right.
So, kudos to Joel for backing me into a corner.
What up?
Is there anything else Star Wars you want to talk about?
I mean, you should go see the movie. You probably have. It's the 68th highest grossing movie after five days in existence. So, I mean, and it's fine.
Yeah. Thoughts on, like, the new batch of main characters?
I like them.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Oscar Isaac's character, Poe Dameron. Yeah. I'm assuming we will in the future ones.
Well, he was supposed to die. He was very clearly supposed to die in that movie.
Really? Are you talking about after...
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah, I did watch the movie.
That guy was so supposed to die halfway through that movie, and they changed their minds halfway through.
Because they realized how much Oscar Isaac's stock was rising?
I mean, no, because as much as his stock is rising, it's not rising to the point where, like, Star Wars needs to keep him around.
Sure, it's not like, let's re-edit G.I. Joe because Channing Tatum is becoming more of a big deal.
Yeah, G.I. Joe is the kind of thing where, like, we gotta get this guy in here. Star Wars is not like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, we can get more mileage out of this character. This is a much better character to go in this direction.
Yeah, because clearly, the focus is going to be on Finn and Rey.
But it's not that spoiler, but he's in the beginning, and then he disappears, and then he kind of shows up again without explanation.
Yeah.
And doesn't do much after he shows up.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything after he shows up that couldn't have very easily be done by another character.
Mm-hmm.
He's in no way critical after he shows up.
Right.
So I'm like, and it's pretty clear that he was going to die right there. And then they're like, well, we have more stuff. We can get more mileage out of this character. And so they stuck him in later. But anyway.
Really, I think his biggest purpose was to come back and further show off the cuteness of BB-8.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that got the thumbs up moment.
I will say, BB-8 totally worked.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing.
I feel like anyone that says otherwise is kind of probably a little dead inside. Right? Like BB-8 nudging up against R2. Going to spoil why he's nudging up against R2, but the fact that he's doing that, I was like, aw. You know? Like, it made me, like, have a emotional connecting reaction to a inanimate object, what R2 did.
I was very much mentally prepared to be like, there's the Jar Jar, yo!
Yeah.
There is, and he's in this movie a lot. Like, I was surprised how much he's in the movie.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that can be the Ewoks. He's the one that can be annoying, and so I was like, they might hedge their bets.
Could sell the merchandise and everything, yeah.
So I was like, I was thinking they were going to hedge their bets, but they were not. He's pretty front and center, but he does good. So, all right, anything else?
We do have one bit of mail sack, let's go back to wrestling.
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack.
All right, this is an email that came from our good buddy Jay. And it was a email titled Roman Reigns, same song, second verse. And this is what he had to say. So, with the surprising reversal of fates, Roman is our champion going into WrestleMania season, and the parallels couldn't be plainer. Imagine, if you will, due to an injury to the champion, the main event of the Big Four pay-per-view is fought between two faces. They battle back and forth, but the outcome is pretty much certain. But as the ticker tape falls on an emotional moment, Triple H sticks his big nose in the mix, and suddenly the Money in the Bank holder slips in and takes the championship. Excuse me. Was that SummerSlam 2013 or Survivor Series 2015? The similarities are being shoved down our throat from a storytelling perspective. You'd think that they were trying to catch lightning in a bottle twice. But from a kayfabe storyline perspective, the path Roman has taken seems pitch perfect. It's as if Roman sees what we are seeing, and his response is, nope. Triple H comes out to the ring and congratulates him after his win. Roman remembers Bryan getting pedigreed and preempts his attack by spearing him. Sheamus tries his sophomoric humor to put Roman in his place. Roman's reaction is almost like, blah, 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 let's get to the pay-per-view. Sheamus surrounds himself with lackeys, albeit well-decorated lackeys. Roman brings a crew. Bryan was almost always on his own, or powers through them. This is more believable for Roman's based on his size. When Roman loses the rematch, he beats down every guy who stands between him and the title. It's like playing a game with a balanced power curve and overpowering early, making the game easier and shorter. And as I write this, I have an epiphany of what his storyline is. What if John Cena had beaten Daniel Bryan in SummerSlam 2013? And that was pretty much it.
Okay, so I think that in the this whole thing with Roman has kind of been like a sneaky rebuild.
Sure.
Because they're like, okay, we did this and we had to take a sharp left turn at the last minute.
Yes.
Because of fans. But we're still staying the course. We're still 100% behind Roman.
Right. It's just they're on a small detour.
And so
And so they went back to the thing that the fans really loved, and that was Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And I think that – so there's this thing that a lot of people say, but basically nobody is bigger than WWE. And there are ways to look at that that's true, and there are ways to look at that that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think WWE very much believes that. Yeah. I think WWE feels like their creative power does more to make or break a guy than anything else, than any other factor. So when they go and look at what Daniel Bryan did, and the whole – the last thing we really loved was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So – let's go see what we did to get Daniel Bryan to there.
Right.
And I really think that there is some level of – do you remember there is a South Park episode where it's the would you like some fish sticks?
Yes.
South Park episode where Jimmy writes the joke.
Right.
And throughout the thing, Cartman genuinely, honestly believes – that he wrote the joke in his memory.
Right.
He was the one that made up this joke.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously not to the cartoonish extent of South Park, but I think there is something of that in this WWE revisionist history.
They think that they made Daniel Bryan.
They got Daniel Bryan over by doing this, making him this underdog and running him through.
Right.
And that's the thing, is like, you go and watch, you know, pretty much anything on the network talking about the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And there is some serious revisionist history going on in WWE. We know that is true.
Yeah.
So I think there is some, it's at least some level of like, all right, so we were successful when we definitely did this with Bryan on purpose.
Right.
So let's definitely do this with Roman on purpose here.
Right.
I do like, in all honesty, I do like that Roman weirdly got over for me, like, in two nights, beating up Triple H and then Superman punching Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And it was just – it was – I don't know. Some level of just not going to play the game anymore.
Yeah.
That was – I can't even say it was different.
You're right.
But it was unexpected because – it was – and part of it was because we are so used – and conditioned over the past year and a half of what happens in what order and what going through the motions.
Right.
You know, Raws are nothing but advertisements for the pay-per-views on the network. And so, you know, a guy will get fired on Raw so he can cause havoc on Raw until the go-home show where he's rehired to fight on the paper. It's like really, really repetitive and formulaic. And so just the like, you know, when they set up this match of like, it's a championship match. If you don't win, you're fired. So there's a definite consequence either way. You're like, oh, so it's a disqualification match. So you can drag this out until the next pay-per-view.
Right.
And so to just like, it felt a little bit like Roman was punching his way through the storyline as much as punching his way through the guys.
Right.
So, and that's what got it over for me, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, the only difference between the parallels between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan's paths were really they put the title back on Roman 2 weeks after he lost it to Money in the Bank, you know? And, yeah, technically Daniel Bryan won it back, but then abeyance happened.
Yeah.
It went back to vacant. So it's clearly like – there's, like you were saying, a lot of revisionist history. Like, oh, yeah, we made that storyline. We can reuse it, like, what, not even 2 years later?
Yeah.
And then expect us not to point out the difference or point out the similarities or whatever. And then, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, maybe we – like, what would happen if we changed things around? Like, what would happen if John Cena had beaten Daniel Bryan? Then Daniel Bryan, they would have treated him like just any other – John Cena victim, and he just kind of flounder away.
Back to the mid-card he would have gone, yeah.
Right. I don't know if the fans would have allowed that. Maybe they did. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they would lose interest, and he'll become the next Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Zack at least Ryder. Ziggler.
Or at least Ziggler, you know, where they just – people get tired of beating their heads up against the wall trying to desperately get a guy over No. And WWE not listening and not caring. So, I don't know. The similarities are definitely there. And it's frustrating. And I still get a feeling that it's going to be, you know, much to the celebration of Blair, it's going to be WWE versus the fans part three this year.
I'm rooting for us, y'all.
I'm rooting for us. We can do it for three. we can go 3-0.
Yeah, we got this.
We can go 3-0.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it for me.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send your picks for the classics next week. If you need a list of the categories, just let us know, and we will gladly send them out to you probably on Twitter or Facebook.
We're also on
iTunes. Sorry, our email is classicringattire@gmail.com.
You plutarch.
Sorry.
As always, we are also on – you messed me up.
I know.
We are also on iTunes.
Yes, we are.
You can subscribe there. Give us a rating of
– 5 stars. I'm sorry.
Or you can write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on insightpulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, check out the Clashy Ring Attire WrestleMania reviews. Next week we'll be on – WrestleMania 5.
And we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris and myself, see what else we're doing. Easy way to follow the podcast, just kind of keep up with everything.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. John Cena watch for my wrist. Now we're moving on to item number 4. It's a brand new John Cena poster for my door. Check it out, y'all. Item number 5 is a brand new John Cena car that I can drive. Well, I can't really drive it 'cause it's too small.